You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the trust you put in people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 278 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me are both co-hosts, Kevin Johnson and Scott Wright, back from Japan.
Ooh. We did that in the wrong order.
We did
that when you said Kevin.
I screwed it all up.
No,
I know.
You didn't. We did. I know. You said Kevin Johnson, and he waved, and then he said Scott, and I waved. And like, we don't even know who we are. It's so confusing.
Yeah, don't even know who you are. I know. It's so crazy.
We're just social engineering the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah, it. So, that's it.
Yes. Well, Scott, you know, welcome back. I know you had a great journey. You actually came back. You didn't decide to stay in Japan. So,
yes, sir. You tempting must as like... it was, yeah.
Wait. We don't know that he came back. That's a green screen.
Oh, that's a deep fake.
Yeah, totally deep fake.
This is deep fake Scott.
That's just a little promo for my deep fakes awareness forum this afternoon. So,
yeah. Ooh, nice. Yeah, we finally got Scott deep faked. AI has.
I mean, if I'm going to deep fake somebody, it's going to be Scott.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. So, we got some great stories this week. Lots of stuff going on. And first, I want to talk about Google has released their version of passkeys, which is pretty exciting.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about passkeys before. I think we'll link here in the show notes. We did a whole episode on passkeys, so we're not going to go into all the technical details about it. But all you need to know is that passkeys are better than passwords, and eventually, maybe one day, should replace passwords. Maybe not all passwords, right?
Yeah.
But that is the goal of passkeys. And it is good to see Google finally getting on board, because this is what needs to happen, right? Is the big tech companies need to support it, and then the other browsers and so on and so forth will follow, allowing this more secure method. The article I'll link in the show notes actually has a good guide of going through kind of step by step of what this looks like. My only comment, though, and I'd be interested to hear from both of you, I still don't feel that it's ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. And my prime time is, can my family members actually use this without much guidance? And I just don't think we're there yet. Non-technical people, can they get it?
I think there's the edge cases that have to be addressed, right? I mean, when you lose your device, what happens, right? I mean, how does the recovery work?
Right.
Well, things like that. With Google, keep in mind, and this is one of the things that is a weakness in Google, but almost all of their solutions, if you can't log in with that mechanism, you can use another one.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's I don't true. Have my YubiKey on me. Let me use the 6-digit code that's in Authy. Right. So right. I assume I've not enabled passkeys yet on my account.
Yeah.
I assume that it will fall under the same idea that you're able to say, look, I don't have that right now. Let me try one of my other options, which we can argue whether or not that's a good or bad thing.
Yeah. There's something else that kind of bugs me a little bit about it. I don't understand enough about it to say that's wrong, but I think it says it automatically includes two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. Now, two-factor authentication means something you know and something you have or something you are, right?
Yes.
And so what are they including as the two factors?
So that what they are is essentially your phone is the authentication device. So either your thumbprint your face ID or your
that's
PIN
one factor
that you type in. Right.
That's one
and
factor.
And then the other factor is the actual passkey itself.
Yeah. You have the passkey.
So it's two things that you have.
Yes.
Well, a thing that you have and a thing that you... It depends on how you set up your phone. Like my phone is biometric. So it's something I am and something I have.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. And that is the one, I wouldn't say criticism of it, but for example, you have to have like Bluetooth enabled on your laptop to use your phone as the authentication device, because it has to connect into your device, your PC or your Mac, which then goes into your browser. So the browser has to support it. And I know even in this article, they said like Firefox doesn't support it yet, but Chrome does. and Safari does. So there's going to be this disconnect still depending on your browser of choice. And of course, having certain things enabled like Bluetooth, right, on your PC, which depending, some people just don't do that. So
especially people that have old XP laptops, right?
Yes, which you should not be using anymore, right?
Theoretically.
We're still on XP. We need to talk. So
true.
But I think it's good. I think it's good to see that Google's doing this. And I'm assuming we're going to start seeing more of this kind of roll out over time, which is good.
Yeah, it's nice that it will help a lot with phishing.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of phishing, Scott, I think this is a good time to jump into our next segment, which, and since you're back.
What is that segment?
That segment is Aware Much.
Yes, sir, Tom. Yeah, there's some buzz around the water cooler or the social networks about Google introducing some new top-level domains like .zip and .mov.
What could possibly go wrong, Scott?
What could go wrong? Well, I mean, first of all, I'm wondering, like, .zip and .mov are file extensions.
So
causes a little bit of confusion. We're not all that smart to be able to distinguish between a URL and a file descriptor.
Well,
or whatever.
You are, Scott, but
well, I don't speak for everybody, but but anyway, what I saw was interesting in the LinkedIn post I saw where there was somebody gave an example of two URLs that looked very similar. What I noticed was that there are Unicode characters that are for slashes, for example, that are not treated the same as a regular slash character. And to me, that's actually a bigger issue than the new domain, top level domain issues, because you can imagine people getting tricked by not just Unicode characters, but by the fact that it looks like a slash and it's not treated as a slash. And you're getting this different kind of addressing that's happening. So I think that's my view on it, is it's pretty confusing. And I think we're at a level where user awareness is not really going to help. You know, there's got to be some technology to kind of straighten this stuff out, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that I had another article I'll link in the show notes that I saw on LinkedIn, and this guy said that, you know, essentially for like network defenders, you know, most likely .zip is going to be used by malicious actors. Like, it's just kind of a given.
So why bother? Like, right? So why do they even come up with this stuff?
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, consider if you are hosting like a blog or something, you may not want to use .zip, right? Because it's probably going to get blocked from, you know, most of these kind of whitelisting and other technologies. Yeah. So
I'd be interested in hearing what the legitimate purposes were that Google thought these would be used for.
Yeah. .us or .tld, you know, anything.
The legitimate purpose is I am zippy car wash.
Make money.
So I'm carwash.zip. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I want to take out sourcecode.zip. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Here's my opinion. This is InfoSec pearl clutching at its finest.
Ah. I haven't heard that term in a while.
Yeah,
because like
I'm old.
Okay.
Not as old as me.
.zip is going to confuse people. Yeah, that's implying that somehow we've fixed the URL problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The only legitimate concern here in my head is the fact that your mail client will automatically make somebody talking about a zip file. Hey, download Samurai WTF 5.3.zip from the list.
Yeah.
Samurai 5.3.zip is going to be auto-linked by your mail client. There is a 4-second fix. That's an exaggeration, but. And I guarantee you, Google and Microsoft are already looking at this. And that is to tell the mail client, don't treat that as a link automatically. Done. Period. We fixed the problem. Ha ha. Guess what? .com is a file name. Right?
True.
For those of us.
That's actually a good point.
I've said this since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
.com files run. That if you ran DOS, right? Did we confuse people back then?
Oh, no, Kevin, you're giving the bad guys new ideas.
Oh, yeah. New ideas from 1972.
And you're making us feel old. I mean,
yeah, I am making us feel old. This is, yet again, InfoSec saying, oh, my God, the world is ending. What was Google thinking? You're like, yeah. You're like the Florida legislature.
Oh, no. Here we go.
That is pushing out laws about whether or not somebody can have that book, right? You're that useless. You are pearl clutching over stuff that's not real, not a threat, not a risk. And oh, by the way, we have real problems to fix. Users are still clicking links, whether it ends with .zip or .move or .whatever. I guarantee you that if we did an interview, a poll, a whatever, of 1,000 people, and we asked them what the extension of an MP4 was, 997 of them would be like, oh, what? Like, oh, well.
Now I have a poll idea. Yes, thank you.
.move is the file name for an MP4. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Nice party trick.
Yeah.
How about we go figure out how to get people to patch? How about we go figure out how to get people to not, ooh, I got one. I got a great one. Instead of worrying about this, how about we fix the problem that every company practically that does user awareness training sends a link to their staff to a third-party site asking them to click the link that will then give them training to tell them not to click the link.
I have a response for that, Kevin.
I know you do, because ClickArmor doesn't do that. That's why I said
I know,
almost all.
I take an issue with just that whole thing about, well, we do send links in emails to say, hey, your course is ready. But life is links now.
I know.
People have to understand links.
I know. And that's my point is we haven't solved that problem.
Right.
And now we're making – there are people being interviewed and they're very proud of themselves. Ooh, I got on the new – whatever. You don't bite me. you're complaining about something. You know what? How about we just complain about the fact that the default color in IE is not the shade of gray I want it to be, right? I mean, how about we give Google credit for the fact that the .zip and the .move domains automatically got enrolled in, they are required to use HTTPS. That's great.
That's a good thing,
right? Let's talk about the goodness that came out here, and let's stop pissing and moaning about stupid stuff that, while yes, is a theoretical attack that can be pulled off, bite me.
Yeah. I think you and I agree, Kevin, there's more risk in that issue of the URL manipulation and character sets and stuff like that.
Well, the character sets have been around forever.
Long time.
I've owned DocuSign.com for, I think we're going on almost 10 years, right? Of course, you're not pronounced that way because the O has like two dots or something like that, right?
Yeah.
This is a nothing burger that yet again InfoSec has.
I have another question.
I bet you Jonathan Data One is complaining about this.
I have another question about this. So it's a little bit tangential, but Google is issuing these new top level domains. I thought that was only something that ICANN
centralized. They're selling them.
Yeah.
They were awarded the TLD. ICANN awarded it to them. Now they sell domains in. I think what causes the confusion is that the TLD was approved a while ago. I don't know what a while, like, don't quote me on how long.
Seems like 5-6 years ago.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
It's just recent that Google has said, we will make these available to the general public.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So they're not selling the TLD. They're selling domains in the TLD.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's confusing the way all the articles are written. All of the articles are being written as if Google said,
just invented it.
.zip works.
Well, this segment of Aware Much has been brought to you by ClickArmor, and it's the interactive security awareness platform that engages employees like nothing you've seen before. In fact, more RFPs for security awareness solutions are explicitly calling up gamification in an effort to make the user experience more engaging. But that's what ClickArmor has been doing for a long time. And our highly interactive and immersive lessons and exercises are using proven psychological drivers. So it's not really a game. It's just a more enjoyable way to learn and promote knowledge retention. So you can visit clickarmor.ca and see how an interactive security awareness platform can provide immediate results. And you can check out our software reviews on Capterra, which are all great. And they're from real customers. And if you're currently locked into a long-term contract with a security awareness vendor, it's still worth checking in with us because we have some special promotions that'll help you level up at a very low cost.
Nice. I like
so,
that.
If you're not ready for a security awareness solution, you should still join the live cybersecurity awareness forum, which is a bi-weekly series of panel discussions that I run. And we cover all kinds of things. We did security culture a couple of weeks ago with Kai Rohr. We did insider threats. And today I'm doing another one on deep fakes, although it will be done by the time people see this podcast.
And you know what's really cool about ClickArmor?
What's that?
Scott's not a Scientologist.
I was wondering when this was going to come up.
And all the recordings for the Security Awareness Forum are available on YouTube. You can just go to clickarmor.ca/CSAF, Cybersecurity Awareness Forum, and access all of our past sessions. So keep you in the loop on security awareness stuff. And that's it for Aware Much.
Sorry, thank you, Scott. That was a reference to last night.
yeah, and we'll. I think I'll put a link to Kevin's episode of Kevin's Security episode. Weekly with the great Larry Pesci, who we've had on this show. Yeah, actually,
Larry's
before.
Awesome. Larry is awesome. Guys.
Yeah, he is. He is. He is. But yeah, Kevin has. Yeah, he had a few rants in that interview.
I don't know why anybody would expect me to have a rant in an interview. I don't know.
It was good. Yeah. It was really good. So, so moving on to our last story of the week. So Twitter has finally released its encrypted direct messaging feature. And if you're on the YouTube, you can see me in quotes saying encrypted direct messaging.
They should have heard the italics in your tone of voice.
Yes, exactly. No sarcasm at all. But it does fall short of true end-to-end encryption because even Twitter has said that, well, Twitter itself, attackers, government agencies, they could still access the messages, right? So that's not true end-to-end encryption at all. And to add, I guess, insult to injury, you have to pay $8 a month to use it because it's only limited to verified users. And as we've talked about in the show before, verified means that you paid money. You are not really verified,
right,
per se. You're just were the ones that paid the money to be verified. So it limits the number of people that can use it. And you can't send photos. You can't send videos. It's just, I mean, to me, it's like, guys, like, why even release this thing?
I was just going to say, why bother?
it just sounds like something they just pushed out and hoping it's going to get better.
Who's going to go to the trouble of turning it on? But not use a really secure solution, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, just use Signal. And in fact, I mean, they are talking to like Moxie Marlin Spike and like, I mean, and well, if
they
you knew
say
it, Moxie
they are.
Actually worked.
But,
well,
but didn't Moxie come out and say, no, they're not?
Yeah, it's going back and forth. But Moxie was at Twitter at one time, and that was on his list of things to do. But it never quite happened because I think there's just a lot of infrastructure challenges at Twitter. And well, there's all kinds of issues at Twitter, but
really?
So this is just one more thing to add to the whole Twitter drama. I don't know.
I'll tell you though, this one bothers me quite a bit. And there's odd parts of it that bother me. First off, I understand that end-to-end encryption is harder than encryption in transit. I get that, right? But this is the perfect example of the hockey stick in cost that we have always talked about, right? They've rolled out something. They've bolted on encryption to a messaging system. I'm not saying they didn't rewrite or anything. I don't know how they did it. But now they're going to have to rebuild, re-release, bolt on, whatever, to move to the next stage of end-to-end encryption. And you and I all know that's going to be more expensive, harder to do,
sure,
have bugs. But let's go a little bit different. I read the article you linked from Wired, and this clearly is not better than Signal or WhatsApp or anything that uses the Signal protocol in terms of features, in terms of security, says Matthew Green, a professor of the computer science at Johns Hopkins University, who focuses on cryptography. Okay, and then I stopped. There's more to the sentence. Mm-hmm. Why are we still using WhatsApp as an example of an end-to-end encrypted
I'm tool? With you.
Right, like
Facebook Messenger, hello.
If a professor of computer science who focuses on cryptography, that's from the article. I don't know. Yeah. I did not look this guy up. I'm not making fun of this guy. I'm asking. If a person who focuses on cryptography is still claiming, that's the implication, right? That WhatsApp and Signal are equal in security. How in the world are we ever going to have people like day-to-day John Doe, Jane Doe, whatever, understand that the encryption in Twitter's DMs is not end-to-end? Like, and why that's important. Because a professor, I'm assuming this professor has at least a master's degree, probably a PhD, right? And you know,
sure, to teach at Johns Hopkins, I would assume.
I would assume that, right? I mean, I barely made it out of high school, so you know, me making fun of the guy is wrong, but like, we're never gonna fix it. This goes back to the .zip thing, right? Let's worry about things and not fix the underlying problem. The underlying problem is one of ignorance. And as I've said before, ignorance is not an insult. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, and it goes back to the first story too, about like passkeys. It's the same thing of like, you know, how is the normal regular user, you know, person that's not technical.
Yeah.
How would they know when they see encrypted messages, they automatically think secure. Oh, it's secure. But
yeah,
when in reality it's not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Turns out, Kevin, it just reminded me, I think many years ago I saw, it was a Security Now episode with Steve Gibson and Leo Laporte. They were talking about this guy, Matthew Green, who actually was testifying at some Senate hearings around backdoor encryption stuff. So I think he's pretty well respected. And
I'm sure. Yeah, that's why I say I don't know this guy. Yeah. I'm not making fun of the guy. I'm making fun of the comment, right? Signal and WhatsApp. That implies that this professor who focuses on cryptography thinks those two are equal. I would like to believe that is not true, that he knows better.
Could be more that he's trying to get people to relate to things that he's talking about rather than
that could be it.
He's using a simple example.
Precisely correct.
He's not. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things I said this. I said it yesterday. I don't know if I said it last night when I was on the interview with PSW or whether I just said it in conversations yesterday. Words matter. When we say things, and I'm the worst person. I flippantly make comments. I rant. I whatever. Words matter. The words we use mean things. And as long as we ignore what they mean, and use them, you know, literally is now defined in the dictionary as the opposite of literally. Right?
How far are we falling? Hope. We're all screwed.
But my hope is, hey, all of you people out there that are getting quoted in articles, think about what you say. Right? Because I'll tell you right now, I've been interviewed. I've been quoted all over the place. I've been on the news. I've been, right? It's always the sentence that you thought wasn't important that becomes
the sound soundbite, right?
And then you become,
and that's why I say is I'm not saying twisted anything about Matt Green's skills. No. I'm not saying he doesn't know cryptography. I'm not saying it's the sentence you don't expect. And I guarantee you, if you go to him and say, Professor, Dr. Green, whatever, right? Is WhatsApp and Signal the same with encryption? I guarantee you his answer is going to be, oh, God, no. Right? Like, he knows that. So that's all. That's the part that really bothered me about this one.
Good to get that out.
Yeah, I had to.
Good times. Well, I think that's all we have time for today, but I do want to thank you both. So glad to have you both back. Glad to have the band back together.
Great to be back.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Love it. So, and hopefully we'll be back again next week.
On all three cylinders.
All three cylinders. Yep.
That seems
and,
wrong.
For everyone else, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk again next time. Thanks for listening or watching. If you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. To catch all the latest from the podcast, visit us at sharedsecurity.net. Follow us on Mastodon at sharedsecurity, on Twitter at sharedsec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit.